Mark chapter 14. 14 verse 1 through 9. Gospel of Mark chapter 14 verse 1 through 9. We'll be reading in unison. I'll be reading an odd number. I will ask you to read the even number. Are you ready? Good. Now the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of the man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head.
Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume?
It could have been sold for more than a year's wage, and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly.
"Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me."
"The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me."
She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial.
Altogether, I will tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Amen. This morning, I'd like to share the Word of God with the title of the People Who Please God. Could you repeat me, please? People who please God. 하나님을 기쁘게 한 사람들. The people who please God. In the Gospel of Mark, there is many ironies. People expect that those people will really please God, always displease the Lord. And then the God was really upset with them, angry with them. Like disciples, we thought kind of a disciple of Jesus Christ. They really pleased God because they followed Jesus Christ. They gave up everything. And they gave that net. They gave their occupations. They gave up their father and mother. And then they followed Jesus Christ. Which means kind of the people said, "Oh, disciples, they gave up everything for Christ Jesus." And then they're the ones who can please God. But the Gospel of Mark gave us a different picture, that the disciples did not only displeased the Lord, but also they always became the stumbling stones to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has only 7 days, only 1 week to be crucified, to take up a cross, and suffering. It will be beat up by a priest, and it will be persecuted. Many slashes, many whips will be waiting for him. So he is going to the most severe, most aching moments. This is time that Jesus need company. This is time just really need a person who can comfort him or consort him and give him good compassionate heart. On the way to the cross, on the way to the Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, Jesus Christ is very alone, very lonely. Nobody could understand what he's doing. Nobody understood what he is going to do. People, his special disciples, try to use this occasion as their glorious moment, that they will play a major role in the kingdom of God, kingdom of David, kingdom. And here, and Jesus Christ so lonely, and his heart is so broken, but because he doesn't have any friend. No friends around. And people surrounded him, really hurt him so badly. And then, so disciples are not the ones who pleased God or pleased Jesus Christ, who will comfort to Jesus Christ ministry. What about religious leaders like Cephas is Kayabah, Cephas, or scribes, or lawmakers, or law teachers? They are not, we know, they are not the ones who do not please God, but they are the enemies of Jesus Christ, enemies. So surely they are not. What about the rich man? There's a rich young man who came to follow Jesus Christ. Sir, I want to follow you. How can I have an eternal life? And Jesus Christ, do this and do that. And Jesus Christ show him the 10 commandments, you know. Honor your parents. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit the murder. And he said, oh, sir, I did it. Everything from the beginning of my age. So he's so a pious man, he's very holy man, he obeyed every single commandment of the Bible, but she just said, one thing you lack, I see you're a very rich man, and then give up everything, and sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and follow me, and then you shall have eternal life. And then the Bible said he's so tormented in spirit. He's so disturbed in his heart because he's a very rich man. And then he never followed Jesus Christ. So there are many people in the Bible that, looks like they are really pious men, religious men, holy men, following of Jesus Christ, disciples of Christ. But very few please God. Very few. And then the Bible said here, and then on the way to the cross, Jesus Christ found out several persons, maybe four or five, several persons who really, really pleased Jesus Christ. And then here, this morning I want to challenge each one of you, appeal to you, to be chosen among those who please our Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life and died for each one of us. Then we will be reading scripture one by one, and there will be found out the persons, very little persons who please God. Let's read chapter 9, verse 35. Let's read together 33 to 35. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be very last and a servant of the Lord. Jesus Christ has only 7 days to go. In 7 days, he will be destroyed. He will be killed. He will be crucified on the cross by a suffering by religious leaders. And then in this last moment, the disciples of Jesus Christ are fighting against each other, arguing each other that who is the first in the kingdom of God? Who was the greatest in the community of the believers? And then Jesus Christ was so hurt, so unhappy, because his disciples arguing about to be number one in the Christian community, while he was confronted by the cross. And then Jesus gave them a word, and if anyone wants to be first, you want to be first? You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Do you really want to be a marvelous, outstanding, remarkable person in the kingdom of God? Be the last. Be the last person. And be a servant. Be a slave of all. Then, that is the person who is great in the kingdom of God. And we see here the upside down value system about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, a totally different kingdom from the kingdom of earth and the kingdom, a human kingdom of a satanic kingdom. The greatest person exercise their authority. Let's read the other another scripture, 10:13 to 16. 10:13 to 16. Let's read. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciple rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I will tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Right before he was crucified, children are those who please Jesus Christ. They accept with a childlike heart. They receive kingdom of God. And then they don't have like a self-reputation. They don't have a self-confidence. Now people despise them. They say, "It's okay, we are just children. I'm just a little one." But here, the goal of the disciples of Jesus Christ is to become like a children. To become the least. To become the least of the persons. So, you know, every day my desire is to become the last person. My desire is to become the slave. My desire is to servant of all. Because Jesus Christ, he is as a God, and then he emptied himself and came down to become like a man, and then not only a man, he became a slave and washing our feet. I really want to follow Jesus Christ model. I really want to be like a Jesus Christ every day, and my heart is to desire to model after Jesus Christ, to become the last person, to become the servant of all. And the children are those who pleases heart of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was touched by children, pleased by children, entertained by children. Oh, so happy. And Jesus Christ could go to the road of Calvary to be crucified. Children are the one who please Jesus Christ. Another one, 10:46. 10:46 to last verse 51. Let's read one another. I will ask 46. I want to ask you to read 47. Then they came to Jericho, and Jesus and disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Second person who pleased Jesus Christ was a blind man. The blind man was despised by people. And he's a beggar, so dirty, with a ragged clothes. And then people never gave any look upon this person. But on he, knowing Jesus Christ coming, he shouted all the more, "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." Then Jesus Christ so pleased that this person is pleased the heart of Jesus Christ. "So what do you want?" And he said, "I want to see, Lord, I want to see. I believe you can give me a sight. I believe you can. You are the one. You are the only one who can open my eyes to see the world, to see the mighty works of God." And then Jesus Christ, "Go, your faith has healed you." Jesus Christ found another person, one person who has a faith in him. And then Jesus Christ so pleased and happy by this blind beggar. And then this is the one who pleased Jesus Christ. The small one, the little one, the least of all who please Jesus Christ by having a faith in Christ Jesus. This morning, the Word of God, the Bible challenges each one of you that, you know, we, you and I, let's recognize that we are blind, man. We don't see what God wants us to see. We don't hear what God wants us to hear. And that we are so blind what the Lord is doing. We are so preoccupied by our things and selfish endeavor. And then we are so well, respect our selfish reputation. We are so, our emotion is so important. My situation is so important. We are so blinded by ourselves and we cannot see the work of the Lord. We cannot see the will of the Lord, and you are so blind, man. If you and I this morning open our eyes to see we are blind men, and then shout it to Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and then give up our self-confidence, give up our self-reliance, self-reputation, and give up like a ragged clothes, and the Son of David, have mercy upon me. And you and I cry all the more, even though people, oh man, he cried so badly, you know, but you don't care about the people's reputation, people's words and praise, or and you what you care is to have received mercy from Jesus Christ this morning. And then the little one, the blind man, is the one who pleased heart of Jesus, the children. The little one, the blind man. And then the Bible, we read the scripture, chapter 14. There is anointed one who anointed Jesus Christ with a jar of the nard. Is a lady. Maybe we may know her name like a Mary. Mary. And then even the house setting is so humble. Verse 3, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of the man known as Simon the leper. Simon the leper, Jesus Christ, visited the house. Whose house is this? House is Simon the leper, the mundungi, leper. Jesus Christ was invited by many people, by a glorious man, by, you know, political leaders, and then, you know, economical leaders and educational leaders and then lawmakers. Jesus Christ invited by many gloriously powerful men, but Jesus Christ is chose to go the house of a leper, the least man, the little one, the little one. And in this leper's, Simon the leper's house, the woman came with an alabaster jar of the very expensive perfume. We know this lady prepared this perfume for her marriage. How much does it cost? It costs for 1 year age, 300 denarium. One year of a wage. She collected from early morning and until late, and I worked so hard, and then she never received any single drops of money and prepare her marriage. But she met Jesus Christ. Her sins are forgiven. She had a new life in Christ Jesus. She followed Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is more important than any other thing in her life. And then one day she said, how can I give up my life for Jesus Christ? And then she came to pour her perfume on the head of Jesus Christ. And then the perfume, the scent permeating every corner of the houses. And everybody can smell the sweet, sweet, sweet scent of the perfume. And then fill the room with a beautiful scent. And then that woman pleased Jesus Christ. That woman filled the heart of Jesus Christ, sweet heavenly scent of the kingdom of God. And then she wasted every single drop for Jesus Christ, which made disciples angry. And disciples said, why this waste of a perfume? He could have been sold for more than a year's ages and money given to the poor. And they rebuked this lady harshly. They cannot stand this young lady. Give up her life, give up her you know, money for the marriage. But Jesus said to them, leave her alone. Why you are bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was so pleased, so cheered up. Many people said Jesus Christ doesn't need to cheer up. No, Jesus Christ here, we know. Because we have learned about the pneumatological Christology and the 성령론적인 기독론, pneumatological Christology. Jesus Christ need cheer up from people, encouragement from people, compassion from people, the prayer for the people. Jesus Christ really desperately, because Jesus emptied himself, which means Jesus Christ did not use his divine power. Jesus Christ is God, creator of the heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is creator of you and me. And Jesus Christ, he created you and me with his fingers and his design of a heart. But Jesus Christ, when he became man, Jesus Christ never used the divine power, which means he worked as a man, he acted as a man, he prayed as a man. If he used divine power, how come he need to pray? Does God need to pray? Does God need to pray? No, God doesn't need to pray. But Jesus Christ pray all night, pray in the morning. Why? Because he did not use divine power. Everybody could repeat me, please. Jesus Christ did not use divine power. Jesus Christ never used divine power. He lived as a man. He walked as a man. He performed miracles as a man, not by his own divine power, but by to rely upon the Holy Spirit and filled by the Holy Spirit, and then by prayer all night, prayer in the morning, and he healed many, many people. And Jesus Christ was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and filled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and then just the Holy Spirit was leading his life. So Jesus Christ walked as a man. He needed compassion. He needed cheering up. He needed comfort from people. But disciples never comforted Jesus Christ. Josephus, Caiaphas never comforted Jesus Christ. The so-called religious people never comforted Jesus Christ. Instead, that the religious leaders and especially disciples really hurt the heart of people, a heart of Jesus Christ. And then the heart of Jesus Christ getting heavier and heavier, heavier right before he was crucified. Jesus Christ looking at the disciples and then, wow, man, I spent 3.5 years with them. Still they are fighting each other to be a great man in the kingdom of God. And then they are not changed. I cannot trust in them, and they are so easy to fall down, and they don't have a faith in me. They don't know who I am. Jesus Christ so disturbed. Jesus was so unhappy, so discouraged and depressed that how can I leave this earth with just looking at these disciples? Jesus Christ was so unhappy, but Jesus Christ was revived by a blind man, revived by children, the little one, and then another little one, the lady who, in this gospel, her name is not written, so we don't know who this lady was. Little one, disciples do not know her. Disciples even rebuked her, but this little lady is the one who prepared the funeral service of Jesus Christ, and by breaking up everything she had, giving up everything she had to Jesus Christ. And here we have learned why this waste of perfume. We have learned that love is wasting. Everybody, could you repeat me, please? Love is wasting. Love, if you love somebody, you want to waste your time with her or him. If you love somebody, you want to give up, give up your money for him or her. And then here, this lady so loved Jesus Christ, want to give up everything, and everything she had was a perfume, the nard, the best perfume in those days. And then broke the perfume and then gave to Jesus Christ. And this morning, by this scripture, the God challenged each one of you that break your perfume. Break the most important thing in your life and then give it to Jesus Christ. Waste for Jesus Christ. And the little one. Another little one we want to find out. And then let's read Mark chapter 15, verse 39. Mark 15, verse 39 to 41. Let's read together. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was a son of God." Some women were watching from the distance, among them Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. And in Galilee, this woman had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also. Yeah. And then the last persons who pleased Jesus and comforted and encouraged Jesus Christ are the little ones. Like a centurion, the little ones. Like ladies here, we have just young women who is has a name. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and Joses and Salome. The ladies, the women, were despised in those days. People do not consider them important person. The male chauvinism was prevalent in those days. Namjong Wolchi, yeah, prevalent in those days, male chauvinism. And as a male upright everything in those days. And then here, every male deserted Jesus Christ. Every male gave up just looking at Jesus Christ because they want to run away because they want to save their life. They are afraid of soldiers. They are afraid of to be arrested. They are afraid to be killed by a soldier like Jesus Christ did, Jesus Christ was. And they are so afraid that fear filled their heart that they ran away. They disappeared. Nobody is found out in those days. But the several little ones, the women who really want to sacrifice their life and risk their life. And then they seem to say to us, okay, if the soldiers arrest me and hang like Jesus Christ, I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ because he died for me. And this mutual love between Jesus and the ladies pleased Jesus Christ. They are the one who cheered up and then gave the power to Jesus Christ. Gave the encouragement to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, okay, until the last moment, I want to go. Until the last top of the Calvary, I want to fulfill my goal to be crucified on the cross. And then his disciples heard him. Jesus knew that Peter denied him and cursed him. Peter betrayed him. I don't know this man. And then his disciples ran away. But like a coward. But the ladies never ran away and followed Jesus Christ, risked their lives, and then tried to die with Jesus Christ. And in chapter 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the Salome, bought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body very early in the morning. Of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other. And then, even at the day of the resurrection, and then the women, the one who came to the tomb to anoint the body of Christ Jesus, they risked their life because they knew the Roman soldiers are guarding against any people there. And then, verse 9. 16 verse 9, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared the first to Mary Magdalene, the first one who saw the resurrection, the first event of the human race to become the resurrected, and then the first eyewitness
of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not the male, is not the disciples, is not the religious leaders, political leaders, or the one who live in Akubjongdong. Those are not the one who saw Jesus Christ at first, but Mary Magdalene, the little one who were prostitute, who were possessed by demons, seven demons, so despised, so lowly, so least among people. Mary Magdalene was the first one who saw Jesus Christ. And verse 10, she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And she's the one who proclaimed the gospel of resurrection, who proclaimed Jesus is risen, Jesus is risen. And she's the one who comforted the disciples who are afraid and shut down the door and tried to hide themselves. And in verse 11, when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe him. Disciples disappointed Jesus Christ to the last moment. Disciples never believed in Jesus Christ's resurrection. And Bible said they did not believe the news of resurrection. Then verse 12, afterward Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking the country. These returned and reported to the rest. And another two disciples saw Jesus' resurrection. And the Bible said, but they did not believe then either. So here we found out disciples are not the ones who please Jesus Christ or God. The little one, the children, the blind man, and then the one who broke her perfume and then gave Jesus Christ a scent, preparation of the funeral service, and then the little ones, the women who risked their life to the little ones, the women who risked their life to be standing beside the Calvary. And then those are the ones who really, really pleased Jesus Christ. Let's read one more person, one more little one who pleased Jesus Christ, who encouraged Jesus Christ that, oh, okay. By the encouragement of the people, and Jesus Christ could fulfill his journey to the cross, fulfill the journey of cross to save you and me, save all the world. And let's read the verse, chapter 12, verse 41 to the 44. Chapter 12, verse 41 to 12. Let's read together. Okay, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and with the two very small copper coins, worthy only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything all she had to live on. Amen. And there's one lady who pleased. Jesus was so happy. And then Jesus Christ was watching of the treasury, Yeomboke. And the people, rich man from Akujongdo, rich man from Daejeon, rich man from the Gangnam, and many rich men, many chaebol Christians. And then they came and they poured money from their sack. And then you can hear the sound of dropping the cup. You can hear the sounds of dropping of the golden coins and silver coins, many coins, and then even many papers. And you can hear the dropping of the many monies. And the disciples were so, wow, man, Lord Jesus, those guys are one who please God. Look at the money. Look at the shining polished golden coins. And then Jesus Christ's heart was not happy. Jesus' heart was so depressed because the golden coins they gave to God is only less than 1% or less than 0.1% or just little like a fingertip out of their all wealth. But here Jesus Christ, knowing that the lady, the poor widow, gave the two coins. You know how much does it cost? $1. It's one hamburger. Just this is her lunch money. Lunch. This is if she go to the McDonald's, just she buy the lunch. The last two coins. The last two coins. And then she pray. Oh, do I keep it? Do I keep them? Or buy a hamburger and then feed my an empty stomach? But I ever heard that Sipas is gathering the money for church building. Oh, this is small money, but this is all I have. This is all I have. Out of poverty, she gave up all she had to live on. If she gave up these two coins, dropping the sound, dong, dong, I don't know how to sound it. And then she gave up her lunch, and then she will go with empty stomach. She cannot eat on that day. But she loves God. She loves the temple of the Lord. And then she gave up last drops of her blood to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ so happy. She was so revived. For those people, I want to die. For those people, my death on the cross is not unworthy. Is not in vain. Will not be in vain. And then I will die for the worthy cause. And Jesus Christ was revived and was really pleased by those little ones. And then Jesus Christ could finish the last race of his journey, which is cross. Then I want to conclude with the word of Jesus Christ this morning, that the salvation about the soteriology, salvation, how to be saved, how to enter the kingdom of God, which is very different from Paul, very different from other writings. But the salvation by Jesus Christ is different from any other theologian. The salvation of Jesus Christ is giving up your life. If you and I decide to give up my life, lose it, and then you will have it. By losing it, we're going to have it. We're going to save it. The salvation by Jesus Christ is like these little ones. Gave up all they have. Gave up all they are. Gave up all their day they can risk their life. Those are the ones who are saved by Jesus, saved by God, and then enter the kingdom of God, and then please the heart of Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 38. Okay, let's read all together. Okay, and then let's finish. Then he called a crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save. Could you underline, please? Verse 35. Who can be saved? Jesus never said you can be saved by faith alone. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, who can be saved? 35. For whosoever wants to save his life, you want to save your life, you want to be saved. Bible says, whosoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. 나와 복음을 위해서 자기 목숨을 버리는 자만이 구원을 받을 것이라고 말씀하십니다.
Very different from Pauline gospel or Lutheran gospel or Protestant gospel.
개신교가 말하는 구원론과 너무너무 다른 말이에요.
The gospel Jesus Christ is talk about the righteous man salvation is very different. And here Jesus Christ is calling you and me to the way to salvation. To give up your life to Jesus Christ. Give up our life, lose our life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the only ones who can be saved. Like a little ones, like a blind man, like this poor widow who gave up last coins, drops to God. And then one more time, let's read one more time, 35. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses a life for me and for the gospel will say, Amen. So our task, what is your task as a Christian? My task, and is that how to lose our life for Jesus Christ. How to lose my money for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How to lose my young life, youth, for Jesus Christ. How to lose my health for Jesus Christ. How to lose my everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who can alone save 30, 60, 100, and 1,000, 10,000 people by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then this morning, the Lord is calling us, inviting each one of us to the life of salvation. The life of salvation, that let's lose our life. Let's lose our money for kingdom of God. Let's lose our degree. Let's lose our knowledge. Let's lose our pride. Let's lose our any kind of self-reputation, self-reliance, self-confidence. Let's lose everything. Give them all at the feet of Jesus Christ. And then the more we lose it, the more we'll be saved. The more we give up, the more we'll be filled by the heavenly spirit of Jesus Christ. And then we shall become the walking Bible and spokesman of God and living fountain of the Holy Spirit. And through us, thousands of people shall be saved. And we shall become the channel of salvation. We shall become the channel to please God like a little one. And then your desire, my desire in this morning, is the very same, that I want to be a little one. I want to be a least of all. Losing my life. You know, nowadays my head is occupied by one thing: how to lose my life, how to lose all I have. And then I want to lose it more. I want to lose everything. I will lose everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this glorious gospel, and then is calling and inviting each one of you this morning to please God and please Jesus Christ. As when you and I will become the little one and small one and the servant of all. And let's pray. Everybody, let's pray the utter your prayer with English or Korean. Let's ask God like a blind man, and let's recognize that we are blind men. We don't see what God wants us to see. And we see what God doesn't want us to see. And we don't hear what God wants to say. So let's pray that like a blind man. Lord, I'm blind man. Have mercy upon me this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to really please you. I want to give up everything I have. Everything I have in time, energy, young life, and then my youth. And my strength and my money and my knowledge and my degree, whatever. Lord, I want to please you by giving up everything. And when you and I give up, we will be saved. We will save it. Let's pray for the salvation of our life and our heart. Let's pray. Hananim of Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray this morning that the little ones, that one who really pleased Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father Jesus Christ, his feet are so heavy. His heart is so empty. His heart is so discouraged. His heart is so depressed.
but he cannot go on the one step. Heavenly Father, he was hurt by disciples. Jesus was hurt by the religious leaders, the pious man and bold man, Heavenly Father. But Heavenly Father, here there are several little ones who pleased Jesus Christ. Several little ones who really encourages Christ to take up his cross and bear his cross and crucify on the cross, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, I want to be like a poor widow. Heavenly Father, make me like a poor widow, little one. Lord, make me like a blind man to see. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Heavenly Father. Don't turn away your face upon me, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, you have mercy on me, Lord. Give me rest and peace, Heavenly Father. The Lord bless and keep you, the Lord. Make his face shine upon you, the Lord, and be with you, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, be with us this morning, Heavenly Father. Lord, be with us this morning. Lord, have mercy upon us. Like a poor widow, Heavenly Father, we want to give everything we have, Lord Jesus Christ. Like a Mary, we want to break our perfume, the jar of perfume, Heavenly Father, and break everything to give it to you. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. Oh, the precious Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Touch us, reach out your hand and touch our heart. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, be with us this morning. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.